Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's Generex Biotechnology Corporation Investor Update. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star and one on your touch-tone phone. You may withdraw yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Please note this call is being recorded. I'll be standing by if you should need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Mr. Mark Fletcher. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning. Before I turn the call over to management, I'd like to remind everyone that in this call, management's prepared remarks contain forward-looking statements, which are subject to risks and uncertainties, and management may make additional forward-looking statements during the question-and-answer session. These forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties, and actual results may differ materially. When used in this call, the words anticipate, could, enable, estimate, intend, expect, believe, potential, will, should, project, and similar expressions as they relate to Generex are, as such, forward-looking statements. Investors are cautioned that all forward-looking statements involve risks and uncertainties, which may cause actual results to differ from those anticipated by Generex at this time. In addition, other risks are more fully described in the Generex public filings with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, which can be reviewed at www.sec.gov. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Moscato.
Good morning. My name is Joe Moscato. I am President, Chief Executive Officer, and Director of Generex Biotechnology Corporation. On behalf of myself, Generex Executive Management, and the Generex Board of Directors, I would like to welcome our fellow stockholders and other interested parties to this morning's conference call. Joining me as participants in this morning's call are the following Generex and subsidiary executives: Dr. Yutaka Nohara, Executive Chairman of Generex and CEO and President, Chairman of Emmaus Life Sciences; Richard Purcell, Senior Vice President, Clinical Research and Development; Dr. Jason Terrell, Chief Medical Officer; Dr. Harold Haynes, Chief Medical Officer of HEMA Diagnostic Systems; Dr. Eric von Hoffer, President of Antigen Express; Andrew Rowe, Chief Investment Officer and the Director; and Mark Fletcher, Executive Vice President and General Counsel. As I'm sure most of you are aware, there have been some recent changes in the Generex management team and board. Last month, Dr. Craig Eagle, a senior executive at Pfizer, and Dr. Gary Lyman, co-director of the Hutchinson Institute for Cancer Outcomes Research at the Fred Hutch Cancer Research Center, joined our board as independent directors. In addition, Dr. Yutaka Nohara joined our board as executive chairman and is CEO, president, and chairman of Emmaus Life Sciences. We are gratified that individuals of such experience, distinction, and accomplishment at the nexus of science and business share the Generex vision for the future. And together with continuing independent directors, Dr. James Anderson, and Chairman of the Audit Committee, Brian McGee, are prepared to give the company the benefit of their insight and advice. In addition to the participants on this call that I've already introduced, the company's executive management team has been augmented by the addition of Dr. Jacob DeGon, Executive Vice President of Business Development, Andrew Green, Chief Operating Officer and a Director, Lawrence Salvo, Senior Vice President of Diagnostics, President of HEMA Diagnostic Systems and a Director, and Mark Carrero, Chief Financial Officer. I am confident that we have assembled a team of dedicated and qualified executives that have deep knowledge and experience in FDA clinical development through commercialization, big pharma partnering and licensing, know-how, mergers and acquisitions, financing and management experience, and are capable of designing and implementing effective business plans and strategies, responding in a dynamic, aggressive, and effective way to the challenges that lie ahead. In fact, those attributes have already been proven on their own. The purpose of this morning's call is to provide our stockholders and the investment community with a brief update and overview in respect of the company's ongoing initiatives and its future plans. Afterwards, we'll open up the phone lines for questions. I will begin by addressing the company's long-standing assets, its proprietary buccal delivery drug delivery platform technology, and the Antigen Express immunotherapeutic technology. And then our new business strategies, one being our acquisition plan, and two, a new financing platform we are in the process of developing with selected pharmaceutical companies seeking to partner with a large funding source that will address the unmet needs of the pharmaceutical companies developing their highly valuable research and hospital institutions' clinical trials. With that said, I'd like to turn the call over to Senior Vice President of Research and Development, Mr. Richard Purcell, to talk about a proprietary buccal drug delivery system in general and our buccal insulin product, Orilin, in particular. Rich?
Thanks, Joe. Good morning, everyone. We're really excited to revitalize the clinical development program for Orilin. Through the efforts of board member Dr. James Anderson and former COO Dr. David Brusegard, who remains a consultant for the company, we have successfully developed an enhanced formulation of the company's proprietary buccal insulin, Orilin. The enhancement enables a significantly higher concentration of insulin to be delivered in a single buccal spray, such that patients will only need one or two sprays before and after meals for effective treatment. We plan to rebuild the Orilin clinical development program for the treatment of type 2 diabetes, which is at epidemic portions throughout the world. Type 2 diabetes represents a significantly larger patient population than type 1, providing easier access to patients for our registration trial and a significantly expanded market opportunity. Preliminary studies of the reformulated product have demonstrated clinical efficacy, paving the way for the completion of the Orilin commercialization plan for the phase 3 trial. Insulin is not the only drug that can be delivered using the Rapid Mist buccal spray delivery technology, which can be used to administer numerous molecules to the buccal mucosa for therapeutic application. We're exploring several opportunities to develop new formulations of existing drugs using buccal delivery to extend patent life through the 505(b)(2) registration process at FDA. For example, the company previously announced a co-development agreement with NH Therapeutics on a rapid mist formulation of leuprolide for the treatment of hypogonadism. We're also excited about our previously announced arrangement with CanScience Innovations, whereby Generex has licensed rapid mist drug delivery technology to CanScience for the buccal delivery of cannabis-based products, certainly a hot area for new drug development. The company will also explore the use of buccal delivery for cancer immunotherapy with tumor-specific antigens in conjunction with our subsidiary, Antigen Express. In summary, in addition to Orilin, the Rapid Mist Buccal Spray technology can form the foundation for a drug delivery business within the framework of the Generex corporate structure with subsidiaries that Joe will be talking about in the future here. Lastly, Generex owns a broad patent portfolio pertaining to its proprietary buccal spray delivery system. Dozens of companies are infringing on these patents. So the company is working with a law firm on a strategy to seek injunctive relief and damages for patent infringement. With this patent enforcement strategy, Generex can realize significant royalty payments from sales of products that use buccal spray delivery. We have a lot going on, and we're very excited to get going again. Thanks, Joe, and back to you.
Thanks, Rich. In conclusion of this part of the call, I'd like to say that Generex management is committed to Orilin and its proprietary buccal drug delivery system, and will be unveiling future plans and initiatives as they develop. I'd like to now turn the call over to Dr. Eric von Hofer, the president of Generex wholly owned subsidiary, Antigen Express. Eric, please.
Thank you, Joe. Good morning, everyone. So Antigen Express is both a technology development and product development company. We maintain a broad patent portfolio of a technology we call the IIQ technology, which is applicable both to immunotherapeutic and prophylactic vaccines. The company's lead compound based on the IIQ technology, A37, has some encouraging activity in a phase 2B trial for prevention of recurrence in patients with low HER2 and triple negative breast cancer. Many people, I'm sure, have heard about the checkpoint inhibitors that have similarly shown very encouraging results in a variety of cancers, including breast cancer. That technology is complementary to what we're developing, and particularly the checkpoint inhibitors essentially are reversing the suppressive effects seen in many cancers. They're essentially taking the foot off the brake. What we are doing, the antigen technology, is stepping on the gas in a very specific and non-toxic manner. So the focus of Antigen Express has been on establishing a collaboration to combine AD37 with a checkpoint inhibitor to enhance the response to both treatment modalities. That goal has recently been accomplished as we're preparing to initiate a co-development clinical trial with a major pharma. In conjunction with the NSADP, the National Surgical Adjuvant Breast and Bowel Project, Antigen and his pharma partner are planning a phase 1B trial of AD37 in combination with a checkpoint inhibitor in patients with triple-negative breast cancer. The trial will be conducted at select NSABP sites, with Antigen Express as the sponsor and its pharma partner providing the checkpoint inhibitor free of charge. Antigen Express and its partner agree to jointly share intellectual property and may cross-license AD37 and the checkpoint inhibitor for combination treatment. If the trial is successful, Antigen and its partner intend to mutually develop the combination therapy for market introduction. In addition, the company is currently in negotiations for a potential licensing partner in China to develop AD37 and possibly other eye products for the Chinese market. As I mentioned, the use of checkpoint inhibitors has been a very important milestone in the treatment of oncology. It's created a variety of opportunities for IAT technology given its complementary nature. So it can be used for a variety of different tumor-associated antigens. The National Cancer Institute recently has published a list of 75 tumor-associated antigens for target cancer therapy, which provides antigen with a roadmap for pipeline development. Of the checkpoint inhibitors, like PD-1, that could be used for a variety of different cancers, and as I mentioned, is a way to, it's a suppressive element of the immune system that prevents T cells from attacking normal cell proteins in the body. It does this when the PD-L1 receptor binds to PD-1 in both normal cancer cells and on some immune cells. So some cancers have large amounts of PD-L1, which helps them evade the attack. The other important point is that activated immune cells also induce PD-L1, thereby causing an immunosuppressive effect. So that's why we believe that the combination of a checkpoint inhibitor with AD37 will give you a much better response than to either of these treatment modalities individually. Antigen is currently seeking additional partnerships with manufacturer of immune checkpoint inhibitors to develop in combination with a variety of IIT modified tumor-associated antigens. In addition, we've shown that the IIT technology is applicable as well to infectious diseases. People are aware of the Zika virus that has emerged recently, as have a number of other potentially pandemic viruses in the near past. Antigen is uniquely positioned to rapidly respond to evolving threats based on the synthetic peptide technology that it's based on. Because IAT technology enables both the prophylactic and the therapeutic vaccines, the company can produce large quantities of the vaccine when needed, much more rapidly than conventional vaccine development. Zika provides a perfect example of the need for this type of rapid deployment for infectious diseases. Antigen plans to work with its sister, with the Generac sister company, Hemodiagnostics, for rapid diagnostic tests for the Zika virus, identifying viral epitopes that produce optimal results for diagnostic as well as for prophylactic and immunotherapeutic vaccine applications. Joe?
Thank you very much, Eric. Now I'd like to turn the call over to our Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Jason Terrell, to give some highlights and insights on the foregoing segments and our ongoing commitment to these existing long-term assets.
Thank you, Joe. Let me first say I am very excited to serve as the Chief Medical Officer of Generex alongside an incredibly talented team with expertise in all aspects of biopharmaceuticals. And Generex is really overflowing with high-value clinical opportunities. As the Chief Medical Officer, I look for specific criteria in evaluating the clinical potential of products. We at Generex intend to deliver products that will significantly better patient lives while exhibiting prudent healthcare economic models. To oversimplify things, if Generex commercializes products that deliver significant value to patients, that deliver significant savings to the healthcare system, will in turn deliver significant value to our shareholders. You've already heard about Auralin and Antigen Express. These are two platforms currently held by Generex that can quickly enter the clinical phase, both of which are true platform technologies, meaning they have broad application potential that is unlocked by a single positive significant trial. The preclinical and early stage foundation for this has already been established. Auralin and the associated patented buccal delivery system and Antigen Express both have short-term single product deliverables as well as extended long-term platform-based potential. In addition, you'll shortly be hearing about our first two acquisitions, Emmaus Life Sciences and Hemodiagnostic Systems. I don't want to steal their thunder, but would like to express how excited we are to be working with these two companies, and you'll understand why as Dr. Nahara and Dr. Hines introduce their companies and their technologies. We've also identified several additional target companies for future acquisition. Our acquisitions will be highly selective and strategically designed. And like our existing technologies, we'll be acquiring biopharma companies with high impact, high quality products, sound healthcare economic models, strong management teams, strong IP, and very importantly, clearly defined development, regulatory, and commercialization pathways. So with that, thank you, and I'll turn it back over to Mr. Moscato.
Thanks, Jason. I'd like to now talk about and introduce my fellow Generex stockholders to our new strategies designed to build significant value in the Generex enterprise. We're developing two new business segments designed to help increase value, credibility, acclaim, and monetization. The first is our acquisition strategy. We have started the implementation of the strategy with our first acquisition, Hemodiagnostic Systems, with a 51% controlling equity stake in this company. We filed a Form 8-K on this transaction with the SEC on January 20th. Hemodiagnostics is a rapidly growing biotechnology company involved in development, manufacture, assembly, and distribution of diagnostics targeting primary as well as orphan infectious diseases. Hemodiagnostic Systems continues to expand its product line to meet the needs of the worldwide market. Our point-of-care test devices are made simple to use and are highly cost-effective when incorporated into the Hemodiagnostic Systems' patented delivery systems. In particular, the Rapid 123 Hemo Express is a novel delivery system that is self-contained and easy to use. Our plan moving forward is to fully commercialize and monetize this asset with the help of the Generex management team and to turn HEMA into a sales organization in the areas of application approvals within the World Health Organization, the Global Fund, and other regulatory agencies where its products can be deployed in geographical regions served by these in-demand products. In addition, we will be developing new applications in the areas of unmet needs, including those such as Zika and sepsis. I'd now like to introduce Dr. Harold Haynes, the Chief Medical Officer of Hemodiagnostic Systems.
Thank you, Joe, and everybody else. Just a quick overview of the new development efforts at Hemodiagnostics, and you'll have to forgive me for my voice. I'm a little bit hoarse today. The new development efforts basically are to expand the current hemodiagnostic qualitative platform into a quantitative platform. And the first effort in this direction is the development of a sepsis biomarker multiplex assay, which can be used to at the bedside or in the laboratory to help diagnose and determine if escalation of sepsis is happening in an individual patient and therefore help the physician in his clinical utility efforts. The purpose of this is to enter a market which is gigantic and very much underreported in this country and in the world. The sepsis market is large because basically sepsis is very much underreported. For example, up to 70% of people with endpoint renal disease, which is somewhat common, die of sepsis. But at the end of the day, the death certificates indicate they died of pinpoint renal disease. So there is a market. We have a test that is well underway. It's going to be very useful in this continuing growing market worldwide. Very specific reasons for entering this market, because it is large, it is unmet, as Joe has said, and is something that the world and the clinical groups need. Joe, back to you. Thanks.
Thank you, Hal. The second company we are in the process of acquiring is Emmaus Life Sciences. Emmaus is a company that came to us unexpectedly and in the early phase of our reorganization, but an opportunity like no other. Both myself and our team had to mobilize immediately and work quickly to try to make this opportunity work, as it is an opportunity positioned to contribute high value to our enterprise in a short amount of time. With that said, we went to Emmaus just outside Los Angeles on January 16th and signed a binding letter of intent and delivered our first payment of $500,000 that myself and my fellow Generex executive, Larry Salvo, advanced to Generex, which consummated the deal as represented in our January 20th 8K filing. We still have a great deal of work to do to close this transaction, but recent accomplishments in our capital reorganization program are setting the stage for a closing. Firstly, we recently announced we successfully achieved the elimination of our outstanding derivative liabilities. As of right now, there are no convertible preferred shares or price-protected warrants outstanding. We succeeded in reducing the attendant dilution by more than 60% and removed derivative liability from our balance sheet. We are now positioned for greater access to the capital markets and on much better terms than we've ever been before. In addition, we have made the requisite submission to the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority for our approval of the reverse stock split previously announced by our stockholders. These initiatives are designed to clean up the company's capital structure and set the stage for the completion of the Emmaus transaction and other transactions like it. Now I'd like to turn the call over to Dr. Nahara, Emmaus CEO, President and Chairman, and Generex Executive Chairman. Dr. Nahara is with me here, so here you go, Dr. Nahara.
Thank you, Joe, and thank you, everybody from Generex, as well as its subsidiary and all the shareholders. I like to say that I felt very fortunate when I met Joe and his team almost a year ago to find out about Generex. Since then, we have communicated, and around December of 2016, it became quite apparent that Joe has accomplished what he said he was going to do, which was to revive Generex. And I felt comfortable with Joe and his team as early as a year ago, but when I saw that he actually had accomplished what he said he will do, I felt very comfortable, and I wanted to join this team. So we started talking, and we were giving a very generous offer. I brought this to my board at Emmaus, and as Joe had described, our board unanimously agreed to sign this LOI to pursue joint effort. And we believe that it is going to be done. Emmaus is a company that was started based on wanting to do something for sickle cell patients. I myself is a trained hematologist and oncologist, and I have seen a lot of sickle cell patients, and my wish was to do something for those patients who are suffering so much pain, and they were also having shortened lifespan. When you see them in front of you suffering and having pain double up in the emergency room due to their severe discomfort and see them die in front of you, and then you realize that there is nothing we can do and nothing available in medical community. This was in early 1990s, and we didn't even have hydroxyurea. You know, you really felt like you had to do something. That's how this research was started. By the end of the decade, we knew that we had fairly strong proof of concept, and we got the support of the NIH and FDA, got the orphan drug designation. What we have discovered is that we can manipulate this system called NAD redox potential, which was structured and developed in our laboratory at UCLA, primarily by Dr. Zeres. And through this system, we realized that by utilization of very safe amino acid, pure L-glutamine, we can improve the integrity of sickle red blood cells. We moved quickly from basic science laboratory to clinical laboratory when I realized that patients are doing so well to the point that many of the patients no longer require these heavy narcotics. We needed to go into phase two clinical trial, and we got the funding from the FDA in seven digits, like millions, but that was not enough. So because there was not so much interest in orphan disease nor sickle cell disease in early 2000, we were encouraged to start a virtual company. That was the beginning of MAS Life Sciences. Fortunately, with support of family and friends, we were able to carry this out to the end of phase three clinical trial. We have raised about $90 million to date. We have quite positive data that we will actually reduce the number of the painful crisis, hospitalization, duration of hospitalization, and we reduce one of the most devastating complications, which can be deadly, called acute chest syndrome, by about 60%. With these data, we had brought new drug application to the FDA last year, and we were immediately giving a PDUFA date of July 7th of this year. With the safety that we have shown and with the efficacy we have demonstrated, we are quite confident that, this is going to be looked at very favorably. And we are really excited that we'll be able to expand this work along with the Generex team. Now, aside from this sickle cell disease, we have had some spin-off, because while we were using L-glutamine, we have observed some anecdotal discoveries, and we have discovered that, this also works on diverticulosis, which affects about 60 million U.S. patients, USP population, and about 20 million in Japan and other countries. And we have received patent for treatment of this condition. At this point, there is no other treatment for diverticulosis. Anecdotally, we have discovered that with 1 year of L-glutamine treatment, we were able to eliminate diverticulosis almost completely in a 70-year-old patient. And we have studied the effects, and we have a hypothesis as to how this might work. But ahead of this, we were able to obtain patent in the United States, Japan, China, and Australia, and we believe that this is going to be a large market. In addition, we have shown that L-glutamine, and this was something that was shown in epidemiological studies in the past, but it actually does reduce hemoglobin A1C in number of our patients. We are talking about non-sickle cell patients, and we actually obtained a patent on this indication in Japan as well. One other pipeline that we have in our company where we had successful animal studies is that we can use a buccal mucosa cell and we grow them and make this into a cell sheet, and we can replace, we can treat the patients with a condition called limbus stem cell deficiency. Currently, there is really no other treatment for this condition, and we are actually able to recover the sites. Well, this was mostly in animals, but we have obtained licensing from a company by the name of CellSeed from Japan, and we are the only laboratory that's conducting this work right now in the world. And with these pipelines, starting with sickle cell, which is very close to fruition, we believe that we can bring a lot of value to Generex and also Generex to MAS. And again, we are really grateful to Generex team for inviting us to join the team, and we are looking forward to closing of our agreement. And thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Dr. Nahara. I'd just like to comment on Dr. Nahara's presentation. You know, when we had to mobilize immediately to potentially make this transaction happen, we did our homework, and you know, other companies that are in the same space as Emmaus in sickle cell disease are at least 2 to 3 years away from any submission to FDA. And when we did the comps, those companies are trading at 30, 40, 50 time multiples, as well as we were hard pressed to find a comp that, you know, was similar in patient population, in potential drug revenue per year, and have gone all the way through all the clinical path, all the way through to commercialization, and then ultimately a big pharma partner. And that only, the only comp we were able to find was Medivation, which when they put their package into FDA for approval, the company was worth about $500 million. It went to $5 billion on approval, and then Pfizer bought the company for $14.9 billion. You know, that was what really piqued our engines to get this transaction done. We are and still are in the middle of our reorganization of our security structure, but it was a transaction that we knew we had to jump on and react to immediately. We've done that. There are still some hurdles, but we believe we will be able to close this transaction as soon as our reverse stock split is approved by the regulators, which it's in for. We look for other opportunities, and we are talking about opportunities, just like Emmaus, to bring huge value to Generex. So I'd just like to wrap up this part of the call on our acquisition strategy by saying that we are focused on and committed to the further development of HEMA diagnostic systems and in completing the Emmaus acquisition. In addition, we are pursuing additional biopharma and diagnostic acquisition opportunities with a view to adding more value to the Generex overall business strategy. I'd like to further note that after the reverse stock split becomes effective, we plan to design a rights offering that will allow shareholders to acquire additional Generex securities at a substantial discount to market so that you will have a greater opportunity to participate in the value we are attempting to create. We will endeavor to unveil specifics in the coming weeks. We are also making plans for the next annual meeting of the Generex stockholders, tentatively scheduled for late April. I'd like to now turn the call over to Andrew Rowe, our Chief Investment Officer, to talk about our plans for the pharmaceutical for our new pharmaceutical trial financing initiative. Andy? Andy, are you on? Well, I guess Andy couldn't get on, so I'll give this summary. We are at present making plans to launch a financial subsidiary focused on developing innovative financial solutions for the healthcare industry. Our first proprietary product is called the Rapid Clinical Trial Advance, RCTA for short. Our goal is to launch RCTA in partnership with global biopharmaceutical companies, clinical research organizations, and research institutions to facilitate immediate liquidity and capital for those research for the clinical research process. In other words, the RCTA goal will be to fund clinical research and trials sponsored by Big Pharma. Some of the anticipated benefits of RCTA to Big Pharma sponsors and research investigators are the following: providing immediate access to capital for research and development spending, offering research grants and funding through the Shared Savings Program, fostering better relationship between Big Pharma sponsors and research investigators, creating more efficiency in the flow of capital between Big Pharma sponsors and research investigators, which then allows research investigators to focus on enhanced patient care, We are in negotiations to partner with a large, well-capitalized asset management company as our funding partner for the RCTA program. We are currently in full development mode on RCTA. We will keep our shareholders aware of our progress. However, please understand that implementation could take some time, especially in partnering with a big pharma sponsor. When completed, the process is anticipated to be efficient and automated as necessary. Okay, so at this point, I'd like to open up the call for questions and answers. And if everyone could please refrain from, questions dealing with the RCTA program at this moment, we are still in development. However, we will provide more information to shareholders as we launch the RCTA program. But I wanted to highlight everybody on what we're developing and what we're working on. I'd like to now open up the call for questions for our question and answer segment. Thank you.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone phone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone phone, and we'll pause a few moments to allow questions to enter the queue. We could take our first question from Juan Garcia. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, is a reverse stock split absolutely essential?
Well, at this point, I'll answer that. Just Joe Moscato. At this point, Generex has tried to do a reverse stock split for many years now. We've gotten approval a few times from our shareholders at each annual meeting. Just the timing was never right, but more importantly, the overhang never was in a position to be able to accomplish that with all the restrictions that we had on us. We need to raise new capital. We need to make these valued acquisitions that will help add enterprise value. I'm a firm believer in, money going out is value coming in. If you can position transactions smartly, hopefully that multiple is much more in favor of the acquirer. With the huge upside in taking the value that our acquisition strategy companies gain along the way. So the reverse stock split is definitely necessary. It's necessary, because we need to be able to raise good capital. Being a penny stock precludes us from raising good capital without putting those restrictions that we just got taken off back on. Unfortunately, the company has no other choice. We've alerted the shareholders of this for years. But our hope is that, this is our first reverse stock split in 19 years of being a public company. We hope that it will be our last. We hope that this chance will allow us to make smart decisions in how we acquire companies, how we take value along the way in their gestation and development to commercialization, as well as go back to our own platforms, because we recognize that there's serious upside in developing our own programs, and we've learned a lot from the past. We know where the mistakes were made, and we intend on going back to those platforms and correcting on how to monetize these highly valuable platforms. So unfortunately, the reverse stock split is a necessity, but hopefully we'll be able to give something back to the shareholders in a rights offering. We plan on giving a significant discount to the market as we're developing that program, and hopefully once it's developed we can announce it and shareholders will like what we're doing and want to buy back in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we can take our next question from Steve Mitchell. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Sure. Thank you. Where do you anticipate obtaining the additional $1.5 million needed for the Amanis acquisition, I guess, very shortly? And have they extended the date, which I think was a couple of days ago, where it had to come in? And was the initial $500,000 by the two principals, was that in the form of a debt security?
Okay, I'll handle part of that, and I'll turn the other part over to Mark Fletcher, since Mark Fletcher's been working with the Emmaus attorneys on this. You know, myself and Larry Salvo put together the $500,000 because we both realized how important this transaction could be for the future of the new Generex. So we don't have anything in place as of yet with the company for that monies, as well as all the other monies that myself and Lawrence Salvo have put in personally to further the reorganization along. You know, we'll probably take that in the form of stock down the line, but we haven't even had time to even think about what those terms would be, and I'm in no rush to do my own deal on what that money could potentially be set up as set up to be. So, with that said, Emmaus has extended our ability to make our second payment. That extension was given Friday. We will 8K that. It was just finalized yesterday. But Mark Fletcher, please, if you could respond to that, I'd appreciate that.
Sure. The monies that were advanced by the two executives at the moment are reflected in our books as shareholder advances. No decision has yet been made as to how to deal with those, whether it will be converted into stock or repaid in cash down the road. Fortunately, those two executives, being very dedicated to the company and this transaction in particular, are not playing hardball with us as to how we deal with it. In essence, they're going to do what's best for the company. In terms of the waiver, as Joe indicated, we will be filing an 8K later this week to confirm the extension of the payment date for the $1.5 million. And we are obviously at this juncture working to put together a transaction that will fund that. Clearly, we cannot make any statements beyond that at this juncture, but certainly as soon as the transaction is put together and that funding achieved, we will be making an announcement.
Thank you, Mark.
And we can take our next question from John Nicol. Please go ahead.
Sir, what is the stock split numbers on? One for 50, one for 100, one for 500. What's the status that you've requested?
We filed with the state of Delaware already a certificate of reverse for one for 1,000. And our hope is with our restructuring and our approval for the reverse stock split by the regulators, we will then make available to shareholders, a formula to significantly give back some degree of shares through a rights offering. So as of right now, it's set for 1,000 for one. We've done that already on the state level. But Mark, if you'd like to add anything to that from a legal perspective, please do.
Sure. Joe is correct that we filed the required amendment to the restated certificate of incorporation with the Delaware Secretary of State. As part of that process, we are required to make a formal submission to the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, FINRA for short, for its approval to proceed with the reverse stock split. We are currently in that process. We have responded to a number of queries for information and documentation from FINRA. We have responded to all of those, and we are hoping to hear back from them in the next day or so as to the next step in the process. We have made application to a depository trust company for the effective date of the reverse stock split. We will be issuing a press release in due course to announce the particulars of the reverse split and provide additional information to stockholders about their accounts. Any stock that's held in street name at brokerages, those are book entry registrations, and the adjustments to those stock holdings will happen automatically. We've retained Broadridge as our exchange agent, and Broadridge will be sending a letter of transmittal to the holders of paper certificates with instructions as to how they will go about exchanging their paper certificates for fresh ones. Back to you, Joe.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
We can take our next question from Charlene Adams. Please go ahead.
Yeah, why is it necessary for that stock split to be 1 to 1,000? I mean, 1 to 10, 1 to 100 wouldn't help? Thank you.
Well, unfortunately, we had a time limit on the stock split, and that time limit was nearing to get done. And at the time when we first started the reorganization, the stock was at significantly lower than what it is today. So that ratio was a ratio that was picked because of our desire to uplist back to the NASDAQ stock exchange. We need to have a certain price available to us. So, the stock has now risen. We filed the amendment for 1,001. We can't take that back now. So, Mark, if you'd like to comment further on that.
I think it's good to point out that I know a lot of people have a very visceral negative reaction to the concept of a reverse split simply because it means that in their accounts, one day they have X shares and the next day they have less than X shares. But it's important to remember that reverse stock split does not affect on an immediate basis the value of anyone's holding. It's still the same price. It's just simple mathematics. It's a lower number of shares. And as Joe indicated, doing this reverse stock split will greatly improve our market capitalization. We have far too many shares outstanding right now. It's too bulky, too cumbersome, and it puts us in a position where we are very long way from uplisting to any kind of a national exchange, and it does complicate our ability to raise additional capital. So, as I say, although people react negatively to the concept, ultimately it does not impact the value on an immediate basis of anyone's holding.
Thank you, Mark.
And once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one. And Mr. Ketcher, if you would still like to ask a question, you will need to re-queue. And we will take our next question from John Vincenzi. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, yes. I can.
Okay, thank you very much. I think the gentleman already asked the question that I was going to ask, so I just want to say this. Congratulations, Joe, on your recent progress on behalf of your team. I own almost 5 million shares of Generex. I've been a staunch supporter of it over the years, and I just wish you lots of success and luck in your endeavors and everything. I was going to ask you on the ratio of the stock split, but that question was already answered. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much for the kind words, and I just want to add to that, this team that has been put together and added to the existing team of Generex is committed to making this a success on multiple levels. This team has worked diligently side by side with me to make this happen to date. We will continue on the reorganization. We will continue on adding value to the enterprise. We will continue to look for the best way to get back to our existing platforms and get some critical acclaim going in those areas that can bring immediate results to our value for our shareholders. So with that said, I'd like to take any other questions.
We can take our next question from Roger Black. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning. On the $1.5 million owed, it's my understanding MS gave you an extra week. Have they, I think that's already passed now, so has that company formally agreed to an extension again?
Yes, yes, the company has agreed to another extension. Maybe Dr. Nahar, you'd like to comment on the...
just so if I could interject very quickly, an extension has been agreed to, and we are in the process of putting together an 8K, so we don't want to be discussing any specifics about the extension until that 8K is filed, but it is accurate to say that we do have an extension in hand to accommodate our efforts to raise that $1.5 million.
Thank you very much.
But if Dr. Nahara wants to weigh in, obviously feel free.
Oh, yes. You know, I'm very confident that this team is going to work. It's just a matter of time. So, of course, we did the best we can to when I presented the idea of extension to my team, they have agreed with me, and you'll see the details of extension, which is a very simple one. Basically, we just extend it. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Nahara. Next question, please.
We'll take our next question from George Orbeck. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. First, a comment. In general, a reverse stock split is surely not, it's just a mathematical difference, but history says and shows that almost always this is a very terrible situation for a company, and stock values would reduce significantly in the next few weeks and months after reverse stock split is done. This is a comment first. Now, a question. The way I read the letter of intent with Emmaus is that you're treating GNBT as a company that has currently a market value of about 10 million US dollars or 12 million. I've already once sent an email to you, which I never received a reply to. I see a significant hidden value related to GNBT, related to Aurelin, and as well as related to Antigen Express, which is not reflected in the current stock price. And with this, the way you're trying to do this acquisition, you're giving away 90% of that value away for free to the current owners of Emmaus. I would really like to receive a comment on that and how you would like to recompensate the current stockholders that I'm following this company for 10 years now. And I'm actually very upset, if you may you may hear out of my words.
Well, let me just say one thing in regard to your first question. As far as the as far as the value of the platforms, we believe significant value in our platforms, and we will come back to those platforms in a more efficient, more effective way with this team. As far as, giving away 90% of the company to Emmaus, well, there are significant further steps that need to be done. And those steps, obviously, are the reverse stock split. Once that reverse stock split is garnered, then we will move immediately for an annual meeting of shareholders. We will ask for new authorized capital, which will reduce the Emmaus holdings, and that stock that Emmaus gets as part of the transaction is given after the new authorized capital is approved by shareholders. So, if we authorize 500 million shares, this is an example only. 500 million shares, and the stock is $10 a share, the math would call for Emmaus owning less than 10% of the company. So, you know, it's all about what the ratios will be. It's all about, you know, how much authorized capital we get approved from shareholders after the reverse, as we move into the annual meeting. Again, we're not giving any of our stock to Emmaus until after that is accomplished. So, the ownership of Emmaus will significantly lessen, in terms of the way the cap structure is laid out today.
And certainly, if I might add in that vein, that management of Generex has long held that the market price is not an accurate reflection of the value of the company's assets. But be that as it may, the company is obliged to function with the market cap it has. Right now, we're just under $16 million. And in order to do any transactions, our biggest currency is the Generex stock. And in order to do any transaction, we are forced to function with the market capitalization as it stands. So, if we just sit here and say, well, the value of the assets is not reflected in the stock market price, and therefore we're not going to do any transactions, we would never move forward. We would be at a standstill.
So can I have a follow-up on this, please?
And can I just add one thing? I'd like to add one thing. Emmaus is a very special situation. I would be hard pressed for anyone to find a phase three drug company that has their package in that's significant and positive in its data, that has a PDUFA date with other applicational potential, making this a platform technology with a comp like a Medivation comp going from 500 to 5 billion and then acquired for 14.9 billion by Pfizer. This all occurs July 7th and then shortly thereafter if we're fortunate enough to get a partner. In my opinion, being proactive over the next couple of months, introducing more of our plan, getting our financing platform on board, I would be hard-pressed to imagine our stock to take a significant hit, but only going up based upon the value of what the assets were putting into the new enterprise, as well as going back and executing effectively with our old platforms. So I agree that typically stock prices go down after reverse, but you have to compare the companies. We have two robust platforms with significant applicational areas, both platform technologies, that if executed properly can add huge value to our enterprise, as well as a finance platform that should bring in significant revenues once we find partners on the big pharma side to sponsor our financing initiatives, as well as our subs. And our subs offer us the best immediate value, like Emmaus, because he's at the finish line. There's no more money that needs to go into Emmaus other than what we're paying for our percentage of the company. They've gone through all the extensive trials. They've done all the hard work. We'll be just taking their value up through approval as well as any partnership value. So for us, this is huge. For us, it's huge for our shareholders, and we believe will be significant in deciding on whether a rights offering for individual investors is the right thing for their future. So again, I appreciate the question, and if you have a follow-up, I'd be more than happy to answer it.
Yeah, there's actually now two follow-ups, I'm sorry. Number one follow-up, it's significantly easier for a stock to move up from 1.5 cents to 10 cents, then from $15 to $100, number one. So this is definitely going to be bad for our shareholders, number one. And number two, there was even years ago discussed an idea of spinning out Antigen Express, and analysts have given Antigen Express several years ago. I can't remember the exact date anymore. but several years ago, $300 million in value. Why not follow up these kind of things and generate money out of this? Instead of again, from the way it appears to me, is giving away hidden value for free to Emmaus owners.
Well, again, we're not giving away free value to Emmaus. Emmaus will own under 10% of Generex, depending upon, it could even be as low as 5%, depending upon how much new authorized capital we get from our annual meeting. But I'd just like to add that, yes, we had plans to spin out Antigen Express. Unfortunately, our lead trial in breast cancer didn't vet out the way we wanted, and it wasn't a failed trial. It wasn't a successful trial. It was a trial that was designed without the knowledge that Herceptin works almost like Cure on recurrence. Three plus patients do highly well on not getting back their cancer after they go through frontline treatment and they receive Herceptin. Most of our patient cohort in that phase two adjuvant trial were mostly three plus patients. And because the security structure wouldn't allow further raising of significant monies to add a significant amount of new patients to the trial to offset those three plus patients that would never recur, the trial ended up being non-significant, non-positive, and non-negative. But we did have good indication in our subgroups, in the 1+, 2+, and specifically the triple negative areas. So those would be the areas we'd go back to. Unfortunately, when the trial was designed, no one knew Herceptin worked. It does work, and it works quite well. If we knew that, I'm sure the architects of that trial would have designed a trial in 1+, 2+, and triple negative instead of going with the 3+ area. But they didn't know that. So there was nothing to substantiate a spin out at that point of Antigen Express because we didn't have anything other than a phase one data and good trending data in the phase two. So we didn't believe that a spin out was appropriate at that time. If we would have gotten a successful phase two, then yes, that would have been a very appropriate situation, the spin out. But because of the security structure, the extreme overhang, the inability to raise new capital to further that platform along, or to add to it, it just became impossible even to spin out Antigen. So that could be a possibility into the future. Go back to a triple negative or a 1+, 2+ trial, get some good data, and then look to spin it out in the future. But you know, there has to be some success for Antigen to stand on its own. And we plan with this management team to do that, to get the necessary critical acclaim, go back to that platform, and get some good results, and then we can think about spinning that out at this point. But again, it was just impossible to do it at the time.
And we'll take our next question from Richard Lewis. Please go ahead.
Yes, I own about 24 million shares of Generex. I've been a stockholder for many years, and I don't know how you came up with this 1,000-to-1 reverse stock split. If the company is not making any money, how can a stock split be successful?
This is a biotechnology company. 95% of all biotechnology companies in development stage don't make money. But with the Emmaus transaction, we can see monetization very, very quickly in the approval and then hopefully a partner with Big Pharma. In addition, once Emmaus does garner approval, their commercialization plan without a partner is quite substantial, as well as Hemodiagnostics now is moving from a development stage company to a sales organization in the areas of their diagnostic kits that are approved worldwide with such regulatory bodies as the WHO, the Global Fund, and others to start selling this product. So, you know, also with our financing platform, we will make substantial money with that platform once it's deployed. We're still in development stage on that. But if we're able to launch that program the way we've designed it, we'll have significant revenues coming in on a regular basis, as well as we are looking at other opportunities today that are far down the road, just like a mass, that can bring us monetization very quickly. So, again, most biotechnology companies are development stage. None of them make money until success, and they get through their clinical path, and they get that highly valuable partner. You know, again, when we designed the reverse stock split, we were up against the time limit on when we can pull that trigger. The stock was 0.004, 0.4 of a penny. We needed to do a reverse that can sustain the necessary time to make an application to get an uplisting. If the stock price was where it is today, I'm sure we would have significantly lowered that. But at the time, we were up against the deadline. And at this point, it is what it is as far as the ratio. And Mark, if you'd like to add anything to that.
No, you're right, Joe. It was essentially a timing issue. We had a certain window of opportunity authorized by the stockholders to initiate the reverse stock split, so we pretty much had no choice. There wouldn't have been sufficient time to go back to the shareholders and extend the window of opportunity on that in order to get these transactions completed. So, Joe, we've run quite a bit over our allotted time. The suggestion here is that we take two more questions, and then we'll have to wrap it up.
Very good. Next question, please.
Take our next question from Brian Murphy. Please go ahead.
Gentlemen, you've been very professional with your response about the reverse stock split, which you knew was coming. Because Mark, you've been there since I started buying the stock at over a dollar. So, and I've done nothing but just keep buying because everyone has been so focused on the stock price, they haven't been focusing on what you actually do. And anyone that buys your company that doesn't know that your type of company doesn't make money until you have all your irons in the fire, one of them come out glowing hot. Anyone that's been complaining to you, you guys, you deserve big kudos for your professionalism. But everyone knows, statistically, I know you guys probably hate Adam Furstein from the street because he's a yo-yo and what he says because he doesn't speak facts. But if you look at Citrix, Zoma, Skinvisible is in the cannabinoid industry, and that's what I want to focus on. With your buccal spray and your work on the Orlin, have you done any preliminary research on any cannabinoid products with your inhalers and so forth? Everyone knows your stock's going to go below $2 when you have a 0.004 at 1,000. It goes to 4. You'll lose 50%. You'll hit probably $1.40 before you start going up, which you will. Are you focusing much on the cannabinoid product, given how ridiculous our society is approving recreational marijuana and so forth? And how much effort is actually going into revitalizing Orlin? Because that was the number one product with your company. And I'd like to hear from the doctor in Japan, because Japan and Canada have the most successful or beginning entry into a market than any other country is. And I'd like to know the doctor's opinion on how they can get your product into Japan faster, too. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, I can start the response to that. We do have a contract with CanScience.
Mark, you've been there forever. Congratulations. You've been there forever, sir. That tells me something.
Yes, it's been a long haul. Thank you. Yes.
Let's get back to the company. Forget this reverse stock stuff. Tell us what you guys are doing. Get this reverse stock stuff.
Yeah, we do have a contract with CanScience Innovations, which is a Toronto-based company. It's currently a private company. It's been very successful in raising money for its research programs, and we have licensed the Buccal Drug Delivery Technologies to CanScience to develop cannabinoid products. And the beauty of this arrangement from the Generex perspective is that CanScience is funding the research effort. They are affiliated with University Health Network in Toronto, where there is a lab, and they've got a license to do the research from the Canadian government. So yes, the short answer is yes. We are in the process of developing a buccal delivery of cannabis, which would, as you have suggested, could be a very, very successful product, because obviously there are issues with smoking cannabis and with cannabis edibles in terms of dose regulation, which make it somewhat complicated for doctors to prescribe.
Exactly.
So if we can come up with a metered dose cannabis delivery method, that could be a very successful product. But I will turn it over to Joe or Dr. Nahara to comment on the rest of your question about Japan.
Could you just, if you would, restate that question for Dr. Nahara?
I have the question. So cannabis itself, there is still a real big stigma in Japan. So, as a physician, I think there are many people realizing that medical cannabis is very, very important. But beyond that, I think there is a real uphill battle in trying to get people to buy into the recreational cannabis. So, I think, buccal delivery of cannabis, I think is very important for cancer patients, sickle cell patients, and many, many patients, people with glaucoma. Only reason why I don't prescribe is because there is a conflict with federal and state right now. But if the patient's on it, I don't take patients off of it. And I think many physicians in Japan are starting to feel that way. But still, Japan, when they decide to move, they move really, really quickly. But as of now, the state, the way it is like if you are found having even a small amount of marijuana in possession, you'd be jailed for months.
Yes, you sure would. Travel twice a year to your country. I'd love it. Let's end this on a positive note. Everyone's trashing you guys. Joe, you're the boss. Tell us why you joined the company and why you believe success is right around the corner. I'm an individual shareholder forever, and I love the little micro science companies that spend all that effort. Stay positive while they lose money. Joe, why did you join the company, and what's your optimism so we can finish this call on a positive note and just let you guys get back to work?
Yeah, I've been with the company now since 2009. And I've helped the company in several capacities. The first management team, the founding management team, I really have no comment on their execution and how they did things. I was born for
Harriet wouldn't want you to.
I was born in for specific reasons, and I accomplished those reasons. And I fell in love with both sides of the company, Antigen Express, as well as the oral and the buccal delivery. There were a lot of opportunities that I feel that were missed, a lot of opportunities that could have been done differently.
Water under the bridge.
Yep, water under the bridge, but yep. I still believe in both platforms.
Terrific.
Refuse to give up on Generex, and I believe with the right matrix of bringing in new value, taking value from the companies that we believe in, with great management teams that are executable, that have done all the hard work, will get us short-term acclaim and value. Going back to our old platforms in a very executable way. And I believe with the team that I've put together, we will do that, and we will learn by the mistakes of the past, and execute more effectively on those highly valuable assets that we have. But, you know, I'm here for the long term. I've been here since 2009, and, you know, I've lost significant money with the company as far as being
a shareholder. It's on paper. It's only on paper.
Yeah, as far as being a shareholder. So, you know, I believe that, you know, this is the right team to move the needle and to make Generex where it could have been many, many different times before in the past. I believe that...
You guys have me on your mailing list. Mark, I talked to IR several times. You got this call recorded, so keep me in mind with your rights offering, please.
Will do, sir.
Gentlemen, good luck with things. You've been determined. Let the people that know what they're doing do their job, and shareholders, be patient, stay out of the way. That's how I look at things. Good luck, guys.
Thank you very much.
And I'd just like to, you know, end the call with thanking everybody for their participation. For hearing us out, and for sure, you'll hear a lot from us. We plan on doing these calls every couple of months, or at least every quarter, to update shareholders on where we are in our development and our executables. And we will continue to do this, and we hope that we can rebuild Generex in a more beneficial way to shareholders as well as company. And I thank everybody for being on, for my team. I thank everybody for listening and everybody for asking the questions that, you know, we have no problem in answering. So thank you again, and we look forward to talking to you again in a couple months.